910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's federal election interference case in Washington today unsealed a big trove of evidence gathered by special counsel Jack Smith campaigning in Michigan. Mr. Trump's reaction.
Deranged Jack Smith. He's a deranged lunatic who lost Florida. Look, he's losing everything he's doing. He should have never been put in charge of this case. There is no case.
A lot of the releases redacted, withheld, presumably parts of sensitive grand jury testimony. The report is an attachment to a motion by Smith arguing for overturning a court immunity ruling. Reaffirmations of U.S. support for Israel after the Israeli military killed the top Hamas leader Wednesday. ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers.
The White House says the death marks an inflection point when it comes to potentially reaching a ceasefire deal to secure the release of the remaining hostages and end the war in Gaza.
Wall Street ended a sixth straight winning week. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More families in Wisconsin are taking exemptions for routine childhood vaccinations than most other states. The state immunization program says about 85% of Wisconsin kindergarten students are up to date on their measles, mumps, and rubella shots. The national average is closer to 93%. Voting rights groups are ramping up their efforts after young adults in Wisconsin got intimidating text messages about voting. Molly Carmichael is a recent college graduate and a member of the League of Women Voters.
Right off the bat, I was pretty upset because I figured this was also going out to other people, maybe people who have never voted before and are excited to vote this November. And so getting a text like that would certainly be really alarming.
Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris spoke at a rally at UW-La Crosse yesterday, one of three stops in Wisconsin as she campaigns ahead of the general election in November. Harris, who spoke in La Crosse back in April before taking the top spot on the presidential ticket, also appeared in Milwaukee and Green Bay on either side of the La Crosse rally. The three stops mark her sixth visit to Wisconsin since the summer, and the first appearances here since speaking on October 3rd in Ripon. The election is November 5th. Tonight is the Wisconsin Senate debate between Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Both candidates have been making multiple appearances across the state in recent days, with Baldwin in western Wisconsin for several stops early in the week. It is one of the most expensive races for U.S. Senate in the country, with polls showing the race getting closer as November approaches. You can listen to tonight's debate on the free Civic Media app on WMDX and several other stations on the network. For Civic Media News in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks lose in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost their final preseason game to the Mavericks 109-84. Doc Rivers says it was important for the younger players, like A.J. Johnson, to get in some playing time with their veterans.
Like, I look at A.J. Johnson. He struggled a little bit today. All that is good for him. All the minutes are good. Just have to learn that you're going to play with Dame and Giannis and Brooke and Bobby and Chris Middleton. They all have to learn how to play with stars.
The Bucks season openers next Wednesday night in Philly against the 76ers. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Evanston to play Northwestern tomorrow at 11 a.m. On Sunday, the Packers host the Houston Texans. Rich Bisaccia asked, what is he like about their new veteran kicker, Brandon McManus?
I mean, what's not to like? You know, he's got a lot of skins on the wall. He's been in a lot of pressure situations. He's had kicks in the Super Bowl. He's played in cold weather. He's played in hot weather. You know, he's been successful for a long time. So we're glad we got him right now.
That's Packers special team coordinator Rich Bisaccia with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of showers, lows upper 40s to 50. And maybe a shower tomorrow morning, staying mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-60s. Sunshine and warming up for Sunday and Monday, highs to the mid-70s. It's 71 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Watt. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
Ah, see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Good evening, everybody. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight for this Friday edition as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And when I say beautiful, I am talking beautiful. Today was a stunning day here in Wisconsin, a stunningly beautiful fall day. And tomorrow it's supposed to be even nicer. So enjoy the good weather while it lasts. And if you have to leave the house and go out and about, take us with you on this on the Civic Media app. You can still get in touch with us all night that way and tell us what you're thinking about what we're talking about. That's what we're doing here tonight. It's a family thing. It's a group thing here. So be part of the show. We love that. Great to have you here wherever you're joining us from. We have just a great show tonight. This is very exciting. It's Freaky Friday, ladies and gentlemen. So we are literally... Not literally. No, we're 2 weeks away from Halloween. Is that right, Conrad? 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I got a little excited there. But we are 2 weeks away, so this is our second to last Freaky Friday, and we have a really fun guest here tonight. Ron Helmick is here. He is a Southeast Wisconsin paranormal investigator, and he has had some really cool adventures. Ron is going to share actual audio with us tonight of a ghost. He picked up during one of the investigations the voice of a ghost. And Conrad and I both were too chicken to play it at home alone.
Well, actually, I listened to it.
When?
I listened to it a little bit ago.
Oh, here at the station.
Yes.
Yeah, where there's bright lights. And yeah, of course. I just did too. And it's we won't tell you what's on it, but it's pretty cool. And Ron will tell us a little bit about that, how that happened. And what he thinks it means. This is Freaky Friday. Ron will be here at 6:35. Can't wait to talk to Ron. We've talked to some really fun people over the last few weeks when it comes to the scary stuff with Halloween right around the corner. I will say it's not, Halloween does not seem as ominous when it's this gorgeous outside. Am I wrong?
It doesn't feel like in 2 weeks it's going to be Halloween.
Right. And, you know, honestly, we could have a foot of snow by then, the way things go sometimes.
Who
you
knows?
You never know. But anyway, that will be fun. And then I got a text this morning from our friend, our new friend, Paul Mercurio, who is a Stephen Colbert writer and was on the show a few weeks ago talking about his one-man show that he is doing tomorrow night at the Marcus Theater in Milwaukee. It's called Permission to Speak, and Paul is going to stop by. He asked if he could pop on tonight and discuss it just for a few more minutes to kind of freshen people's memory about the show, which takes place tomorrow night at the Marcus Theater. If you have not gotten tickets, if you're interested in going, I highly recommend it. Paul shared a lot of clips last time he was here from the show, and it just looks great. And it's a unifying event. It's funny, but it also brings people together. He kind of stresses our similarities as opposed to our differences, and he does it comedically. So it's a really good show, kind of just what the doctor ordered at this time of year. Not even this time of year, but in this particular year, with the election right around the corner, I think you'd be well-served to leave your troubles behind and go to the Marcus Theater tomorrow night. But we'll talk to Paul, and he'll tell us a little more about that. That's at 7:20 after we talk to Ron. And then it is also Bar Band Friday night, our favorite night of the week, and one of our favorite friends, Terry Barr, drops by. She always brings really fun music, and this is no exception. So Terry will be here at 8:35. Great stuff she's bringing, as usual. And she's so much fun to talk to as well. So just a really fun guest here at Nightlight. One of our faves, if not our fave. Conrad, do you think Nightlight has a bestie? I mean, is that...
It has to be Terry.
If we have a bestie, it has to be Terry. But I don't want to exclude people either. We have so many great guests, but Terry probably has been with us the most, for sure. So yeah, she's probably our bestie. So she's here at 7:35, and that'll be fun. So that's a lot of show. That's a lot of show, Conrad. I don't know if you understand the depths of what we're trying to accomplish here tonight. And our question tonight, it's kind of a simple one. As we get close to Halloween, we want you guys to reach out and tell us how you're approaching Halloween. So our question tonight on Nightlight is, will you dress up? And if so, what will you wear? Will you dress up for Halloween? And what will you wear? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's that simple. It's an easy question. It's a fun question. Let's get the ball rolling, though. Okay, man, what do you what's your strategy this year?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a lazy Halloweener.
That's your language. Not sure we can say I'm a lazy Halloweener.
For the past... That's gorgeous. I'd say 5 years. I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
That's so lame.
Actually, 1 year I did go as David Bakhtiari, okay, when he was at the Milwaukee Bucks game, and he slammed 2 beers in a row, and everyone cheered at him.
He did like on the Jumbotron or whatever.
Yeah, and I wore the same outfit.
Wow, does he know the way to a Wisconsinite's heart?
Yes, he does.
I'm going to pound this beer, and I will be forever remembered. So you went specifically as David Bakhtiari.
Yes.
Pounding beers.
Yep. I nice. Kept a solo cup with me the whole night.
That's actually a for effort there, my friend. I like that. I like the specificity.
And then the next year, I just wore a Jonathan Taylor jersey, so.
Yeah, that's not quite as... My son 1 year went as Jim from The Office, but... He went as three-hole punch Jim, which is, I think, one of Jim's costumes for Halloween to The Office. So he made a kind of did what you do, made it very specific. We're kind of empty nesters now. I don't know. I don't know if I'll dress up. I doubt it, unless the wife and I get a little freaky. We'll do a little dress up thing. Can I say that in the air?
So you're going to be a great Halloweener then.
I do have. I have a prisoner costume,
which
costs about $4. And I used to wear it when I would take my kids trick-or-treating. It's like the beanie prisoner hat, and then it's just a shirt and the pants. And it goes on over your other clothes. It is the most, it's the least maintenance costume you can buy. I mean, it was so easy. I can't not dress up. So I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. When they come to the door, I'll act like an ex-con who just escaped.
There you go.
Maybe I'll have a shiv on me just to really put the fear of God into kids. So that if I dress up, that's what I'll do. But I don't know if I'm going to dress up. I got to be honest. I'm not saying Halloween. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. But a new phrase has been coined here tonight. But I got into it for the sake of my kids when they would go trick-or-treating, and I enjoyed that. It was fun. And when I lived in L.A., Halloween is like bigger than Christmas there. There are so many set decorators and special effects people, and they all get into Halloween. And that's fun. Like, I kind of got into it when I was there just because it was so prevalent everywhere. But now I'm just kind of like, I was never a huge fan of the holiday, I guess. But that's changing with Nightlight, too, because we've had such fun guests. Yeah. It's so much fun to talk to Todd, and we have another paranormal investigator on tonight, and Ron. So I am kind of getting into it more this year than I have in recent years past. So let us know what you're going to dress up. Are you going to dress up? And if so, what are you going to dress up as this year? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So fun guest tonight. It is, you know what? I am such an idiot. I forgot to send, it was so gorgeous today. It affected my brain. I just, the last thing I wanted to do was get in the car and drive to Green Bay because it was so beautiful. Like I could have been outside an extra 40 minutes. And I forgot to clip a Chuck Berry song. It's Chuck Berry's birthday today. So we'll have to find something that's kind of like Chuck Berry. He's kind of a weird guy. He's a bit of a strange cat, but his music is incredibly influential. And he's got some great tunes. The show Roseanne from 1988, dropped in 1988 today. That's a great show. Loved Dan Connor, John Goodman's character on that show. The kids were funny. Roseanne was funny. She's a little nutty now. I don't know. She's kind of become a conspiracy theorist. But she was funny on the show. That was like the perfect show for her persona, for her stand-up persona. Very good show. Very well written. And so that was 1988. The song La Bamba, 1958. Can you find that, Conrad? That's a great one for breaks.
Okay, yeah.
Let's find that if we can. That's a great song. I'll tell you, I've been waiting to get here to talk to you about Bad Monkey. I made it past episode 2. I'm on episode 3. And you know what? Here's my opinion of the show so far. I'm hoping this changes. Because this isn't what you want to hear about your show. But here's my opinion. I'm going to use a contraction, so it's 2 words. It's fine.
Okay.
It's not great. I got to be honest. I don't love it so far. But I am sticking with it.
See, I say there's a lot of buildup.
Is there? So it gets better. I mean,
really, right now, and even in episode 3, you're still kind of in backstories, you know?
And I think that's what's throwing me. That narrator says so much. Let me just watch the events unfold. But he kind of over-narrates a little bit.
I don't even think you really find out information like that until like episode 5, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe episode 4. I'm actually going to rewatch it because I finished the finale this last week, actually. I think that was...
Right.
And I don't know if I said this on air or not, but I wasn't expecting the ending.
Yeah,
it totally threw me. Did not expect it.
And that's what made me go back and stick with it. And I will stick with it. I'll get through the season.
There, you know, I think the ending was cool. The way they did it is something I didn't expect.
Okay. Did Vince Vaughn break into a soft shoe routine and do a tap dance? Or it's nothing like that, is it?
No. So every episode, since you're only on episode, the next episode, he goes into different Vince Vaughns. So one, like episode 7, you'll see Four Christmas Vince Vaughn.
You know, that's actually kind of clever. I know you're joking, but like to go back to like Swingers Vince Vaughn, I would love that. I think that's part of the problem is he's so like, he's a likable character on the show. You know, you kind of like him. He's laid back. He's kind of wisecracking, which you like. But I don't get the sense that this is a serious cop show, maybe because of that.
Yeah.
Which is strange, but I'm not saying it won't become that. But
so far, what do you think of his partner?
The girl?
No, not the girl. His actual...
Oh, the older guy.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I did too. His character. He's a good foil to Vince Vaughn. Okay, so we're going to read some texts when we come back. And what else should we talk about? Maybe Spider-Man.
Karate Kid.
Let's make you happy. Karate Kid, too. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. It can break your heart out.
I met this little woman. I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of Active Liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with Active Liver. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
That's such a great song. And it dropped today in 1958. That's how old that song is. That's like, as far as background music in a movie, it's just so great. It's like Walk of Life by Dire Straits. When that's on, it just, it brings an energy to the background that you can't describe. I never saw the movie, though. There was a movie with Lou Diamond Phillips. I think it was just called La Bamba. And I never saw it. I always wanted to. It was one of the movies that got away. That's a great question one night, Conrad. Movies that got away.
Interesting.
Let's remember that. I just heard that ad for Worthington, Minnesota. Did you hear that when that was playing?
No, actually.
Yeah, we just had an ad during the breaks, Worthington, Minnesota. And I will say this, when I did stand-up, I'm going back to the mid-90s here, there was a room, a bar in Worthington, Minnesota that did stand-up, and it was wonderfully run. Like a lot of times these roadside bars, they kind of don't really know what they're doing when it comes to comedy, and people who are booking the comics don't really coach them right. This room, and I remember it because I did probably 20 rooms like this in Minnesota over the course of 7 years, was clean. The crowd was great. I actually really remember that. But at the end, they had their tag that said, Worthington, it's worth looking into. You know, I think they maybe could have put a little more thought in on that. But really nice little town and a great bar. I wish I could remember the name of the bar because the woman that ran it was great, too. It was just, they were just on it. Okay, so I want to apologize on this show because I know Al Pacino is a regular listener. I've kind of been ripping on Al Pacino a little bit lately because he makes such bad movies. He's got this memoir coming out, and every day there's like a new leak or a new passage from the memoir that's being published. And I learned and put in my Hollywood Beats for Monday that he was broke. He lost all his, he said one minute he had $50 million. And the next minute he had nothing because his accountant embezzled his money. And the accountant ended up doing like 7.5 years in jail for doing that. So Al Pacino, from like a certain time on, I found him a little unwatchable in movies. And he said around 2011 is when he realized he was broke and he had to start doing basically any movie that came down the pike because he needed money so bad. And that makes sense. He was just doing movies to make money so they could put his name on the video box, pay him whatever, and say Al Pacino. I mean, when you look at his body of work, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, The Godfathers, and Justice for All, Scarface, I mean, he's incredible. But he is so obviously mailing it in for some of his performances in the mid-2000s or wherever we are right now. So that totally makes sense. So I know he's a regular listener. Al, I'm sorry. I'd do it too. I don't even need the money and I'd be in any movie they asked me to be in right now. So there you go, Al Pacino. His book is available. It's called Sonny Boy, which is interesting because he was not Sonny in The Godfather. That was James Caan. Because the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, Sonny, yeah, from The Godfather. Oh, wait, no, he's not Sonny. There's another movie coming out I know Conrad's excited about. Feel free to share.
Well, before the break, you said Spider-Man, which I am excited for the next Spider-Man because the end of that was really good. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
But then today I was scrolling on Facebook and I see Karate Kid Legends, Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio. And I'm
people
just like,
should
why?
Be excited by that. But go ahead and say why you're not.
Well, okay, so they have that new the Karate Kid series on Netflix, and you know, at this point I feel like they've made too many seasons of it. I think they're in season 6 now. And I just think the script writing now is just, it's forced, doesn't feel natural, nothing in it feels natural. It, like I said to you before, it makes me cringe.
So that TV show is already in season 6?
I believe it's season 6. It might be season 5. I
holy smokes.
I lost track of how many seasons there are.
That's a bad sign too.
And I absolutely loved the first 2 seasons. And then the third one, it felt like they're just making it to make it. And that's how it feels now.
Yeah.
And now I don't know how I feel about them making a movie, because if it's just like this last season that I've watched, it's not going to be a good reviewed movie, I feel like.
Well, it's kind of a stretch anyway, right? I mean, Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio?
I don't
get it.
It's, I don't know, because, you know, Jackie Chan did the movie with Jaden Smith, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, The Karate Kid, right.
And it's the same story as Ralph Macchio's, but in like
so it's
different time.
Straight up remake?
So I'm confused about that, if they're thinking that that movie was a remake or is just in the same universe across the world. So I'm wondering how this one's gonna pan out.
I got to say, I have no interest. I mean, I just don't, because I feel like, where else can you take The Karate Kid?
They have to be done with it after this. They have to be.
Or after Karate Kid, they could have done with it.
They should have left it there.
Two, especially. I mean, come on.
I don't know if you've ever seen the other Karate Kid, and it's the main character is a girl. And that one actually.
Oh, I did see that. That was good.
It was really good.
Movie, yeah.
I think they could have ended
three?
It there. I think there was like fourth one or something.
Her name
I'll,
was.
I'll
yeah.
look it. I'll.
Yeah, look
I'll
it up.
Google.
I'm gonna read some text from the seventh. Our question tonight is: will you dress up as Halloween? And if so, what will you go as? From the 740, which I believe is in Ohio. For sure, man. Just got done bleaching my hair to be Eminem for an E themed party. Different letter each year. Oh, that sounds like fun. And I love the costume. That's great. Thank you, 740. Don't be a stranger. Thank you for listening. Great to have you with us. Chris Casper says, we're going as Marge and Homer. When he says we, I assume he means Mrs. Chris Casper? I love Chris Casper, but I just realized in this moment I know very little about Chris Casper. I think Chris and I need to sit down and do a round of speed friendship, and I need to know more about Chris Casper. Those are great. Homer and Marge, though, phenomenal. Love it, Chris. Annie from Watertown says, thanks for bad monkey info, except don't have Apple, frowny emoji. Then, duh, it's Carl Hiessen?
That's the author of the
bad
of
monkey?
The book, yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. He's the absolute best. Annie's a fan. Annie, make your own. I don't want to dissuade you in any way. So, and then we've got, and Cam sent a funny emoji of a dog. All right, more of your text coming up next. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Ron Helmick, paranormal investigator, is coming up next. He has actual audio of a ghost, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to want to miss this. That's after Civic Media's award-winning news. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Go, Johnny, go, go.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is warning Wisconsin supporters of what she calls the serious consequences if Donald Trump returns to the presidency, especially since the U.S. Supreme Court granted Trump broad criminal immunity.
Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails, right? He who has vowed, if reelected, he will be a dictator on day one.
Harris was in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay yesterday. Drought conditions are reaching severe levels in parts of Wisconsin. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows southwest Wisconsin near the Illinois border and the northeast corner by Michigan's UP are in a severe drought. Conditions are also quite dry in central and southeast Wisconsin. The drought could have an impact on fall colors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Fire danger is high across western Wisconsin again today. The DNR is enforcing burn bans in many areas due to dry conditions caused by a lack of precipitation the past month and the drying of vegetation this fall. All of Wisconsin is experiencing moderate to severe drought or abnormally dry conditions. Today, it will be windy and warm across the state, creating ideal conditions for wildfires. There have been 14 wildfires this week across the state. You can visit the DNR's website to see the most recent dashboard. A fire at a downtown Rice Lake building destroyed several businesses yesterday afternoon. The Rice Lake Fire Department said that at 3:40 p.m., over two dozen firefighters were sent to a building on East Messenger Street, pulling in additional crews from other fire departments and police as well. Down power lines, a broken gas line, and wind gusts made the job difficult, according to a release. Four businesses were housed in the building, which is considered a total loss, and one firefighter was hurt. For Civic Media News in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Headed to the theater this weekend? Only a few films open in wide release, but two of them are re-releases. The first one is Back to the Future Part 2, starring Michael J. Fox. Many people think the second installment was better than the original and is much better than the third one. The film is being released in honor of its 35th anniversary. Another re-release hitting the screens this weekend is Hocus Pocus. The 1993 film stars Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. Although critics were lukewarm on it initially, it did very well with audiences and has great performances by its cast. If you're up for some scares, check out Smile 2, yet another horror film that is so far anyway critically acclaimed with an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you're lucky enough to live in a town where a theater is showing Goodrich, you can check out some good old-fashioned comedy drama starring Michael Keaton. The film is not yet reviewed, but could be the perfect recipe if you're tired of being freaked out all month. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of showers, lows upper 40s to 50. And maybe a shower tomorrow morning, staying mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-60s. Sunshine and warming up for Sunday and Monday, highs to the mid-70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome to another Freaky Friday on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd's voice just creeps me out. Welcome back. This is Freaky Friday. I love Fridays because it's Barban Friday night like it always is. But this month, leading up to Halloween, it's Freaky Friday. And it's so much fun. We have a great time here. We have the last few Fridays. And tonight is no different. We are joined now by paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who joins us and has some really fun stories. And I'm really excited to meet this guy. And it's great to have him on the show. Ron, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's all ours. You're a busy guy. How you doing tonight, first of all?
Good. Doing good. I got out of work a little while ago and came home and say hello to the fiance and came out to my car because it's nice and quiet. There's no kids.
All right. Now, that's interesting. Fiance, when you're dating, when do you choose to lay this on people that you're a paranormal investigator? Is it a subject you rush into or you go, well, I better pick the right spot, or don't you care?
A lot of people are pretty fascinated by it. Not just,
I'm sure,
dating, you know, but just in general conversation, you know, you bring it up or drive past a place, like, you know, if you're with somebody and like, oh, I wonder if that place is haunted. And they're like, what? You know? So, but she knew about it and, you know, she's go do your thing, you know. She's,
yeah,
doesn't really go out with me and investigate, but you know, she knows I like doing it.
That's even kind of cooler that she doesn't really have any interest in doing it, but she totally gets that you're into it and you're passionate about it.
Yeah,
so you got to marry that girl. That's what I'm saying, Ron.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're going to. Yeah. I appreciate you taking time out on a Friday night. I would think Friday nights leading up to Halloween are, to me, they're just spooky in general. So it seems like this could be a night you would be out, you know, investigating or something. So thank you for being here.
Well, we investigate all through the year. We get, sometimes we'll have a month of clients in need, and then all of a sudden we'll have months at a time and nothing going on. October is pretty much an educational time for us. A lot of paranormal groups are out there doing presentations and whatnot. And, you know, we have the conference, and we can talk about that later. The conference coming up, the Bell City Paracon. So.
All great stuff. So let's jump right in. You just said when you get busy, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you go about it. When someone calls you and says, you know, first of all, give us an example of what they might be calling you for and how you would approach that. Let's say they think there's a ghost in the house or something.
Sure. We'd get like, we have a website, RacinePAranormalInvestigators.com, or they'd message us on Facebook. Facebook just seems to be more popular for messages and whatnot. But yeah, they would contact us and say, hey, we have, something's going on in the home. We've been hearing some weird noises, or we've seen some things, or they send us video, and want us to debunk it, see what it could be. We go in there and we do a walkthrough to see what we can find first, and then we wait a day or two and then come back, and then we remind the people that we're about to investigate at the house that there could be, you know, just keep us informed if there's any extra activity going on,
right?
Because sometimes it happens, you know, they notice with the equipment that we use. They notice, the spirits notice us, and, you know, they'll make a little noise or whatever. But normally that's what happens. Then we do a full investigation after that on the weekend. Usually we walk in with one, a medium, and we also walk in with us, the investigators. So we have the spiritual aspect, and we also have the scientific aspect.
All right. So that's interesting. So you have a medium, you rely on them to make contact, I would assume, with the spirit, and you guys kind of document it and give your opinions and assess. Is that how that works?
Yeah, basically. And then what we do is, you know, afterwards we all go home, listen to our equipment. Sometimes in the past we used to meet up somewhere and then make it a potluck and listen to all the equipment, and just a good time, you know, we have a good time with it. But yeah, we have to go through all the audio, all the video, everything has to be gone through.
You go through all the stuff you collected while you're wolfing down some casserole. I love it. That there sounds like a really fun night, actually. All right. You said you take video when you go to a house and people have said stuff is going on in there. Mm-hmm. What do you film? And when you walk through, how long does it typically take, if there is an answer, before you know something's going on here? Is there a typical time for that, or do you just, is every case different?
Well, for the walkthrough, we usually have like one or two cameras or our cell phones. Most of the time we have a camera that has an IR light, infrared light, so we can use night vision. And then we also use a device called a K2 meter, which I don't know if I have with me. But a K2 meter, and basically what that does is it measures magnetic fields around electricity, whatnot. And then we go around the house a little bit, kind of take measurements, you know, to see what the levels are. Sometimes EMF, which electromagnetic fields, can cause different things. And that could also be caused from bare wiring, things like that. You can vomit, you can see things. And sometimes that's the case. It's something's wrong with the house itself. But then we also have investigations where we go to where they've just had some recent construction done, rehab done to it. And spirits from the past don't really like that. They don't like the work that was done that they did at a younger age being redone. You know, because if you remember back in the days, you know, you had a bunch of buddies and you built the house. You know what I mean? It was different back then, you know, compared to now.
I would be just as inept building a house back then as I am now, but thank you for including me in the greater population of your statement.
Oh, no. Sorry.
So how often, Ron, do you get to a house where you go, I'm sorry, we don't find anything? Do you always want to comfort the people and say, well, if there's something happening here, do you qualify it somehow? Or sometimes you just say, I'm sorry, there's nothing here.
Well, and I have to add this too. When we get there, we go through a list of questions, each investigation, including medications. And of course, all that stuff is confidential. When we go through the investigation and just say, hey, we didn't find anything, nothing, you know, but please keep us informed if they capture anything or whatnot. Could be just a spirit being quiet. It could be a raccoon in the rafters in the house. It could be numerous things. So, we just have to sift through those issues.
Yeah. How did you get into this, Ron? What made you want to do this?
2014. I was the 10 year anniversary actually. 2014, I was DJing. I'm a DJ, and I was DJing a wedding at the Masonic Temple in Racine, which is extremely spirit inhabited.
Really?
And so I loaded up my van with all my gear, and then of course, you know, I had a beater, so the mirror in the window was gone that long time ago. So I looked on my left mirror, and I looked on my right mirror. And I looked and I saw this tall man in like a black trench coat with a fedora hat. I couldn't see his face, but you could see the outline. And he literally walked from the mirror to the other mirror. And it was like 20 degrees out. So I thought I hit the guy. You know, I thought I was going to hit him. So I got out of the car to see if he's there. And he was gone. And, you know, I'm knowing anything about Racine, where the Masonic is, from the Masonic to where the church was at the time. It's a long distance. There's no way that guy could have ran in a leather trench coat. And so I talked to Wendy Spencer, which ran it at the time, told her. And she said, oh, yeah, it's probably, I think she said David. David was the name. He likes to hang out by the staircase inside. I was like, oh, okay. So I started doing some more research on Facebook, of course. And then found a group page called Racine Paranormal Friends. Racine Paranormal Friends, and met a bunch of people in there that felt the same way, and grabbed a couple friends that I knew, and then before you know it, then we started the Racine Paranormal Investigators. So that was that. So we've been together ever since. You know, there's been people come and go, but we've been intact for it's about 10 years now.
My guest on Nightlight right now is Ron Helmick. He's a paranormal investigator working out of Southeast Wisconsin and the Racine area. In just a few minutes, folks, we're going to play actual footage that Ron sent us of audio from when they captured it during one of their investigations. So
Terry
we'll
Bell,
play that in just a few minutes.
News.
So the first time you go out, Ron, or when you saw that apparition or spirit, whatever you call it, the guy with the fedora, were you freaked out? Were you just curious? I don't know if that would make me want to investigate.
It was a little
more.
Bit of everything.
Huh?
It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
honestly.
Okay.
I was like, what the heck, you know? And I was like, okay, I need to do some more research, you know, whatnot. And I think what really made me more comfortable is we were at Brosman's Bar out in Franksville. And I think it's named Brosman's. And we did a mini investigation there because they said they have numerous counts of, like, this woman in a red dress come through, people coming in, having a seat, you know, look like they're about to have a beer, go to the bathroom, and there's nobody there. Nobody's gone. No, they're gone. Nobody's there. So, you know, that was a time where we're using a device called the SB7 Spirit Box. And basically what that does is scans radio stations or stations, AM or FM, and spirits are able to speak in between those frequencies. AM seems to work the best for some reason, but it scans the frequencies and spirits are able to speak. It's just like the movie Frequency. White Noise, I think that's what it was. If you guys remember that from a while back.
All right.
But we used that device and we were able to communicate with the former owner and then other people that have lived there. And actually I have, I brought up that PowerPoint I told you about too.
Yeah.
I got some pictures and stuff to show if you guys want to share my screen. So
absolutely. We can do that as well, for sure.
Very cool stuff.
Ron, have you ever had some type of experience before you got into, before that DJ experience you had? And I assume it had nothing to do with your DJing capabilities and it was just, they were just there. But do you have, did you have an experience yourself?
Not really that what I could notice there was anything really.
Okay.
There was some questioning times where I thought I saw somebody walk by, you know, in the hallway at my house and when I was growing up, but I never really thought nothing of it. I mean, my family itself.
And
is,
what exactly
is very,
do we throw it to the broadcast?
I guess so to say.
Right at 7.
So, you know,
I'll play some music.
My mom doesn't want to admit to it, you know.
And start bringing it
but,
in.
But
like
other people in my family,
before
I,
7.
I tell we, I
and
got
then
them,
I'll just fade
so,
it down and bring up the debate.
But
as they say.
Afterwards, right. though, yeah, I've had some very interesting encounters.
I gotta be honest with you. You're sitting there in a dark car, and all I can think of is something appearing above your shoulder in the darkness.
Funny you mention that. My medium friend, because, you know, I got two medium friends around my group, and they're always telling me things. Like, the one day I was sitting in my car, I was having a video chat with him, and he's like, you have a cat around your neck, by your neck right now. I was like, what?
Whoa.
He goes, yeah, you know, a gray cat. I was like, yeah, I had a gray cat, you know? So,
wow.
My cat, you know? Then the one time I didn't have my cross on, and my one medium friend, she's like, oh, your grandma's here. I was like, what? And my little grandma, she was a little Italian lady, so she didn't play. She was like 5'1", you know, but she did not play. And so she said she has her hands on the sides of her right now, on her side of her. And I'm like, oh, crap. Then I know she's upset. So I said, well, what's the deal? She goes, well, something around the neck area. I'm like, oh, crap. So before she passed away cancer, she bought me a crucifix necklace. And I pretty much wear it every day. And she goes, yeah, you need to put that on.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. We're going to get to all of this. I've got so many questions for you, Ron. When we come back, Ron Helmick is the guest. He is a paranormal investigator from the Racine area. He's got stories, and he supplied us with an audio file of an actual spirit saying something. And we're gonna play that next when we come back after this very short break. And then I'm going
to
ask Ron some of his scariest stories that he's encountered, too. And we'll see some pictures, too. We got a lot to cover here. It's Freaky Friday here on Nightlight. Ron Helmick is the guest. Don't go anywhere, folks. Things are about to get even spookier. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, look at that. Now turn it on.
And the ready for a game at UW town hall ball.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He's really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome to another Freaky Friday on Nightwatch with Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. Sherry from Horicon says, hi, Pete and Conrad, with her usual name. Hello, Sherry.
Good evening and welcome to Civic Media's coverage of the U.S. Senate debate in Wisconsin, pitting Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin against Republican challenger Eric Hovde. I'm Terry Bell from Civic Media News. I'm joined by the host of the Todd Alba Show, Todd Alba himself. And this will be an important night in the race for U.S. Senate. This will be the one and only debate between these two candidates, and it happens at a time when the race is tightening down to 2 points, according to the Cook Political Report, the nonpartisan Cook Political Report, and in a race where that seemed to be Baldwin's running away at one point in the summer, now seems to be tightening up quite a bit. So what happens tonight, Todd Alba, maybe is the winner is the candidate who does not make a fateful mistake.
Terry, good evening, and good evening to all of our listeners. Always great to be with you on these exciting nights for those of us that are a bit of a political junkie. And yeah, absolutely. Some of the polling out, as you said, the Cook Report has us down 2 points. I think Marquette had it within around 4 or so last time around. You know, the point is, I think that Democrats have used these numbers to kind of gin up fundraising a little bit and make hay of them. Republicans are trying to use it to say that, hey, Eric Hovde has some momentum. Talking to Trevi Olson from the Lincoln Project, who studies these polls quite a lot, he said, look, whether it's Harris or whether it's Baldwin, things have been pretty steady. But I think you're right, Terry, that for Tammy Baldwin tonight, you know, she's trying to solidify some things in voters' minds. For Eric Hovde, he's trying to make a big splash. I mean, he is not the incumbent. Tammy Baldwin is in these things. Incumbency tends to matter quite a bit. As we know, Wisconsin is a ticket-splitting state. Last time we had a U.S. Senate race, of course, with Ron Johnson at the top on the same ticket was Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Evers wins, and so does Republican Ron Johnson. So Wisconsin is a little schizophrenic when it comes to how they're going to vote.
And it's not maybe a crazy scenario in that case that, say, Kamala Harris wins Wisconsin and maybe so does Eric Hovde?
It could be, or it could be the other round. Maybe Trump wins Wisconsin, but so does Tammy Baldwin. I mean, it sounds odd to some people, but I think there is a portion of Wisconsin that people like to know, like, you know, who can we relate to? So, I mean, we have a couple of keys here, wherever you want to go through them for both Hovde and Tammy, wherever you want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you looking for tonight? What does each candidate have to do, and maybe what do they have to avoid doing?
I believe in, you know, I spent 30 years in Republican politics, left the party in 2011, so I base this on some past experience. I think for Tammy Baldwin tonight, the incumbent, she has to remind voters of her record of accomplishment, whether that's the $3.5 million she brought in for dairy businesses. I think what's really important is the casework that her team has done, whether it's delivering passports for people, whether it's helping people with visas or constituent services. I think that's really important for her to drive home tonight because a lot of Wisconsinites have experienced that. She's brought in money for high-speed internet for rural parts of Wisconsin and helped veterans. She also needs to remind voters that her seat matters when it comes to confirming Supreme Court justices, whether you're concerned about women's health care, LGBTQ rights, things like that. And finally, be positive tonight while also attacking Hovde, or trying to attach Hovde, rather, to Donald Trump. And if you're Eric Hovde tonight, I think that he has to try to separate. He probably has the biggest, challenge, in my opinion, because he has to try to separate himself from Trump when it comes to Trump and advances national abortion stances, while also not losing his mega base. That's kind of a touchy thing to do. He has to try to establish himself as a serious candidate. He started off this race by literally jumping into a lake. I think he has to try to bring out some of his business record and remind voters of that. Talk about his record as a business owner. And finally, and I'm not joking around, he has to try to seem quote-unquote normal to dispel Tammy Baldwin's tagline of what's wrong with this guy. Remember, Tammy Baldwin beat favorite son Tommy Thompson in 2012 for the same seat. A lot of people thought Tommy Thompson would run away with it. She beat Tommy with the tagline, he's not for you anymore. And it worked because Tommy's actions backed it up.
Well, let's talk about that tagline, what's wrong with this guy. That's based on a couple of claims that have been debunked by our friends at Wisconsin Watch. One, that he said that farmers don't work hard. That's taking what he said out of context a bit. And another saying that older people ought not to vote. Again, taking a statement he said and kind of running with it in a way that he did not intend.
I think, you know, whether it's out of context, but the fact is those comments, I believe I could state it corrected, that I never questioned the folks at Wisconsin Watch. I think those are things that he said in interviews with Steve Walters on Wisconsin Eye, which is, of course, Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN, which you're just taking what a guy says or a person says and using that. When it comes to seniors and voting, I think that, not I think, but we heard it in his own words. He said that once people get to into a nursing home, they only have, quote, 5 or 6 months to live, unquote. That was a reference to, you know, the life expectancy. Now, the argument can be made it was taken out of context, I suppose. But did he say those things? Sure. And again, in politics, sometimes perception is reality. I think the perception, if you take those words, whether they're in context or out of context, and then you see a guy who literally jumps into a frozen lake to start his campaign, I think voters, that the tagline of what's wrong with this guy, I think that sticks.
The interesting thing I think about tonight is that, you know, it is Friday night, not a time when people are really glued to their radios and televisions, especially yes, for a political debate. And this is held up over time, is that people who watch debates are pretty much made up their minds. There are not a lot of people watching and listening tonight that I think don't have a pretty good idea of who they're going to vote for. So what becomes important tonight is, as we mentioned before, just simply not making a mistake, not making that big gaffe, not making that, you know, viral moment that works against you. On the other hand, maybe what you do try to do is you have that, you know, that catchy thing you say, the thing that catches on with people, the thing that resonates. Whatever is in advertisements or streaming on social media on Monday is probably the goal of what candidates try to accomplish tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you've been a broadcaster a long time, along with myself, Terry. You know, in television, they for a long time, they called Friday nights the graveyard because they put shows there to go there to die. Although CBS turned that around in the 80s with Dallas on Friday nights and Dukes of Hazzard, and more recently with Blue Bloods on Friday night, one of my favorite shows, by the way. But yes, traditionally, people are going out. They're going to tonight. A lot of people at high school football games around the state of Wisconsin. So, well, a lot of people be watching or listening to this tonight live. Who knows? I think you're absolutely right. In the era of TikToks and reels on Facebook and Insta, that's what it comes down to.
Very good. In a moment, we are going to take you to the studios of WMTV Channel 15 in Madison, brought to you by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation, and the one debate this season between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. Thank you for tuning in to Civic Media Special Coverage.